So this week we're going to lay in Parshas Korach, and Parshas Korach, you know, there's the rebellion of Korach, and then there's Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction to the rebellion of Korach. And if you think about what exactly his reaction is, you know, Korach comes with his tainas, and what's Moshe Rabbeinu's immediate response? So if you think about it for a second, right, probably your initial response is he fell on his face, right, ve'yipol al panav, or he tried to arrange a meeting. Machar will come back the next day, and there will be this meeting, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose who's for who, both of which are actually explicit in the Chumash, that was in fact Moshe Rabbeinu's response, but neither of those things was Moshe Rabbeinu's first reaction to Korach. Neither of those things was Moshe Rabbeinu's first response. What was his actual first response, his actual first reaction? Vayishma Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu heard. Now that is a phrase that is totally superfluous, meaning of course he heard, he wasn't deaf, and he reacted, so he must have heard, right? So why does it have to tell us Vayishma Moshe? Apparently the Torah is telling me something in those two words, that before Moshe Rabbeinu actually does anything, the Torah first feels the need to report that Moshe Rabbeinu heard. What exactly do those words teach us? Furthermore, the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos tells us that the Pi Ha'aretz was one of the 10 things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created during Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. I mean, many years, like on Parshas Noach, it always rains, like Shabbos Parshas Noach, and like, I remember like a whole bunch of years on Shabbos Parshas Korach where there was an earthquake somewhere. I don't know if there's some explanation of that, but, you know, it just always seems that way to me. I don't know. But anyway, so hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect, there shouldn't be an earthquake this year, but we have enough on our plates without any earthquakes. What was that?
I think there was an earthquake this week.
Oh, was there? Okay.
Not in the U.S.
There were two? Wow.
I think one in California, one in Mexico.
All right, there we go. Does that happen every week, or is it just special? No, wow.
Parshas Korach,
unbelievable. So when, but what's Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos? The Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Pi Ha'aretz, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. What does that signify? You know, when I think about what I do, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, so, you know, I think about like a mad rush to finish things that I haven't done on time. You know, I don't know, set the table, prepare the hot water urn, make sure that there are tissues in every bathroom, you know, write a drusha, I don't know, whatever needs to get done. Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. What sorts of things does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos? I mean, we know what they are. We have the list of the things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, but what's the message of that? Why would he do that Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos? I mean, he didn't have time earlier. He could have done it whenever. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He always has time. So what does that mean, that he created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos? What's that supposed to, what message are we supposed to take from that? And third, the Chumash tells us that Ubnei Korach Lo Mesu, that Korach's children did not die. Korach died, his children did not. And the explanation given by Chazal is that they did tshuva. So when exactly did that happen? When did they have time even to do tshuva? They seem to have been with Korach until the very, very end. So again, three basic questions. What is the Torah teaching us with Vayishma Moshe? Of course he heard. If he reacted, it's obvious that he had heard. Second, what exactly is the Mishnah trying to teach us by telling us that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Pi Ha'aretz during Bein Hashmashos? And third, when exactly did the Bnei Korach, or what prompted the Bnei Korach to do tshuva? Where do we find that they did tshuva? How did they even have time to do tshuva? So one, you know, especially if you think about the process of tshuva. Tshuva is a process. You have to have charata and kabbalah and a vidui. So where's the tshuva? Did they have all of that? So one important message that I think emerges from this parsha, and really from a lot of places in the Torah, is the importance of taking a moment. The importance of just pausing to take stock and think about things. Just think about life, think about the situation we're in, think about where we're going. Sometimes we need to sort of remove ourselves from whatever situation we're in so that we can see it more clearly. Meaning sometimes we're too close to be able to see things in the moment. And in those moments of clarity where we sort of remove ourselves, we often make the best decisions. You know, that's the power of Shabbos. It's the power of Yom HaKippurim. You know, very often you're in shul and Yom HaKippurim, it's because you're not doing anything else. It's it's because you're just there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you can really think about, okay, the rest of my life, what happens outside the walls of this Beis Medrash, this Beis HaKnesses, you know, let me think about that now. Now that I'm not there and I'm here, let me think about how it works when I am there. And we gain the deepest insights into ourselves when we have that clarity of removing ourselves, of just pausing and stepping out of the moment. And we live in a very frenetic world, and it's a tremendous challenge to do that. Obviously, in the last few months, probably less of a challenge or more of an opportunity to do some of that, to do some of that thinking about what really matters and how I go about doing things. You know, I can't tell you how many times, just the pace of the life that we live, how many times did it happen that, like, I have a thought, oh, I need to send someone a message, I need to send someone a WhatsApp or an email. So I take out my phone, I'll open up the phone, oh, like right now, I open up the phone, 3 new WhatsApps and 2 new emails, right? So, oh, okay, before I send the email, let me just check what these 3 new WhatsApps and 2 new emails are, right? And then I read that. Why did I take out my phone in the first place? I put it back in like an hour later. Did I ever send that email? Like, you just get so distracted by everything else that's coming in. There's just too much happening that we just don't have time to really even focus on what it is that we're actually doing. So there's always something else buzzing for our attention. It's very important for a person to just take a moment. You know, last year, this time, I was in for Parshas Korach, the week of Parshas Korach, I was in Camp Keli with our Masmidim program, and one of the things that we incorporated last year that we hadn't done previously was we took the guys on trips to visit various rabbanim. We hadn't done that before. We'd invite rabbis to come to camp, but there's a certain madriga of rabbi that would come to you, and there's a certain madriga of rabbi that you need to go to them. You know, so we went to we had a day where we went to visit Rav Yisrael Reisman, Rav Shiva Tor Vadas, and Rav Reuven Feinstein. So the Rav Shiva Yeshiva Staten Island, if you don't know. So we went to visit those two rabbanim, and the idea was that the trip, well, I'm not like an expert at running camps or trips or anything like that. I'm actually quite terrible at that, so I always have someone else do it for me. But the idea was that we would go banana boating in the morning, and then we'd go to lunch at Dougie's in Woodburn, and then we go to Camp Aguda to Rav Yisrael Reisman, and then we go to Camp Yeshiva of Staten Island, which is as beautiful as it sounds, to Rav Reuven Feinstein Shlita, and we'd hear from him. And as things go, trips get delayed, buses don't come on time, the boating takes longer than you think it will. Had we stopped at Dougie's and eaten at Dougie's, we would have had to either cut out Rabbi Reisman or Rav Reuven. So I made the executive decision that we'll order from Dougie's, we'll swing by, pick it up, and just go straight from there so that we won't have to miss anything. And my assistant last summer informed me that some of the guys were very upset that they missed out on going to Dougie's, on the Dougie's experience, on being there. And mind you, you know, these are post-Shana Aleph guys. These are not, we're not talking about, like, four-year-olds, you know, we're talking like post-Shana Aleph, but, you know, this was a trip day, and they wanted to have time, you know, spending, so they were upset, and the next morning I apologized to them, because I was ultimately responsible for the trip, and I said, look, I had to make an executive decision whether we would miss hearing from Rav Yisrael Reisman Shlita and Rav Reuven Feinstein Shlita, or we'd miss going to Dougie's. And, like, as I said those words, like, you could see, like, the recognition come on people's faces, like, oh, that was stupid. You know, like that's not really a choice. Meaning, eating Dougie's on the bus versus eating Dougie's and, like, missing an opportunity to hear from Gedolei Torah that we have no access to normally. Like, wow, that was silly. In the moment, though, it makes total sense to be upset by that, because in the moment, you're not thinking, you're just thinking, I'm hungry, and you're thinking, oh, I want to chill with my friends, or whatever, you know, in the moment, it makes total sense. You take a step back from the moment, you take a step back, and you think about it for a second, you're like, that's ridiculous. It just sounds absurd. Obviously, you know, it's a more valuable experience and a more unique opportunity that you don't want to pass up. So we went to Rav Reisman, and Rav Reisman told us that once, after, he told us a lot of things, a lot of very valuable things. One of the things that he told us that once after Rav Palm had a surgery on his stomach, he told Rav Reisman that in the time that he was in the hospital, he had an opportunity to think about different events in his life. meaning he took a moment, right? Rav Pam, who is a busy Rosh Yeshiva and trying to run, not only Yeshiva, but also Shuvu and everything else that he was involved in, and helping so many people that he was constantly involved in doing. So he had surgery, and he had time to, like, take a step back and think about life. And he started, like, doing Cheshbon HaNefesh on his whole life and think about certain decisions that he had made in his life. And I guess in the aftermath of surgery, he opened up. He was just talking to his Talmud. He was talking to Rav Reisman, and he said he was thinking about three different events in his life that, had they turned out differently, would have changed the entire trajectory of his life. And one of them was that he was supposed to try out for a teaching position in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but he missed the bus to the Prabhu. He was supposed to go for a model lesson for a teaching position, and he missed the bus to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Now, Rav Pam, if you know anything about Rav Pam, he was an extremely disciplined and organized person. He was not the kind of person that shows up late and misses a bus. You know, there are people like that, that just can't, like, get organized, and that are just fly-by-night kind of people. That was not Rav Pam. It was totally out of character. It was not in his nature to miss a bus. And that, the fact that something so unusual for him happened, caused him to think about it and reassess whether he really wanted to move to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And nothing against Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's a wonderful community. Whenever I, in the past, when I went on trips with my kids to, Hershey Park or whatever is near Harrisburg, we often stopped in the community. They have a wonderful shul there, and it's wonderful. But Rav Pam didn't belong in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Rav Pam's impact was going to be as a Rosh Yeshiva of a major yeshiva in Torah V'Das, and to be mashpia on those Talmidim who would go all over the place and would ultimately make a huge impact on Klal Yisrael. And he just reassessed, do I really want to move there? And a short while later, he was offered a job in Torah V'Das. Most of us probably would have gotten frustrated and immediately worked on other solutions, right? Oh, I missed the bus? Okay, is there another way to get there? Do I know someone can get, is there a way I can get a ride? Is there another bus? Is there another bus station? Is there, right? Rav Pam just said, wait a second, step back. What just happened over here? Where am I going? What am I doing? A moment. And take that opportunity to rethink things, and it reorganized his entire life. You know, on the side of Rav Shach's Matseva, they engraved a section from his own Tzava'a. From Rav Shach left the Tzava'a, and there's an engraved passage from Rav Shach's Tzava'a on the side of his Matseva. It reads, V'chein, and you can find this online, V'chein ani mevakesh mikol elu ha-talmidim, hayodim shekiblu to'eles mimeni. I'm requesting from all of the Talmidim who know that they've gained something from me. Hein b'Torah, hein b'Yiras Hashem, hein b'Midos, whether it be in Torah, whether it be Yir Shemayim, whether it be in Midos, sheya'asu chesed imadi, that they should do a chesed with me, v'yilmedu ba'ad iloi nishmasi, and they should learn for iloi nishama from me, afilu mishna achas, o machshava achas shel Musar. That learned one Mishnah for me, or have one machshava of Musar for Aliyas Neshama, via Zeschari, and that will be my great Schar. Unbelievable. He was not asking his Talmidim to learn a Mishnah or have a machshava of Musar for their benefit. He, Rav Shach, who wrote the Avi Ezri, who is Rosh Yeshiva of the biggest yeshiva in the world, who is a Gadol Ador, he, Rav Shach, said, you know what's going to be beneficial for me? You know what's going to be a great schar for me? If you take a moment, a machshava achas shel Musar, just stop and think about a dvar Musar for a minute, and that's going to be a great schar. The value of that kind of moment, the value of that kind of pause, it's just incredible. And maybe with that we can understand, we can answer the questions that we began with. Moshe Rabbeinu's first reaction was very simply, Vayishma Moshe, was to be Shomea. It's a term that does not only refer to the physical ability to hear. In Tanakh, it very often means, like it means in the Yeshivish language, right? I hear. When you tell your Chavrusa you hear, you don't mean that your audio receptors are in tip-top shape. Meaning, when you say I hear, you mean to say that I understand, I've internalized, I get your svara. I'm feeling that svara. When the Torah says Vayishma Yisro, so what did Chazal say? Mashmua Shama Uba. What caused him to change his whole life? What caused him to join Klal Yisrael? because the shmua means to be shomea means to take a moment, pause, and see where you're going. That's Vayishma Moshe. Korach comes to criticize Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe's natural reaction, and the reaction we all should have, would be to be totally dismissive. I would have been dismissive. I mean, think about it. Rashi says that he came with divrei leitzanos. What kind of divrei leitzanos? He came telling knock-knock jokes. What was a divrei leitzanos that he came to Moshe Rabbeinu with? You think about it. A boy in camp last year came over to me and he asked me, what's so funny about what Korach said? Like, a stand-up comedy routine? Like, what's divrei leitzanos that Korach said? So what's the leitzanos? The leitzanos was the absurdity of his claims. He was arguing that Moshe Rabbeinu was interested in his own kavod, his own gaiva, advancing his own family, and the only man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever testified about, b'chvodo v'atzmo, that he's anav mikol adam, that he is the most humble ever to live. And you're coming and accusing him of being a bal gaiva? I mean, it's just the absurdity. It's just ridiculous. It's such a late sonos. And you would think, when you're being criticized by a late like that, someone coming with something that's not, I mean, it's just so off the reservation, you would think you would just be totally dismissive. The Chiddush the Torah is telling us, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately responds, but before he responds, Vayishma, he hears it out. Let's see, is there anything I need to hear? Is there anything that is there any hidden truth in these accusations? And that was a midah that served Moshe well at other times in his life and was really life-changing for him. Because he saw the burning bush and he stopped and he said, well, wait a second. What's going on over here? Most of us, we see something unusual and we walk right past it. But wait, well, what's like on the streets of New York City now, people are shooting fireworks at each other, people just walk right by. Right? They're lighting each other on fire, people walk right by. Here was a bush lit on fire. Okay, so there's a bush on fire. But stops, just stops. That's a characteristic of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yaakov Kabaretsky in his Emes LeYaakov al HaTorah suggests that the Bria Ben Hashmashos serves a very specific function. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did such an unbelievable job creating the world, putting in place all the laws of nature, it makes it seem like everything runs by itself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that people who don't stop to think will forget that there's a creator behind it all. Will forget that there's, because it runs like a well-oiled machine. You know, the sun rises every morning, sets every evening, and, you know, it's a predictable path, and, you know, it just runs. And it was specifically after the creation of all of the natural world. Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemashos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu incorporated 10 reminders into place. Things that are going to be out of the ordinary. Things that are going to cause people to stop and say, well, wait a second, that wasn't expected. And just take a moment and think for a moment. And that's going to play a huge role in causing people to reassess, to rethink, to reevaluate, and ultimately to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason B'nai Korach didn't die, according to Chazal, is that they had a moment of hear her tshuva. That means, Chazal say, that the ground opened up beneath them. That was their moment, when the ground opened up beneath them. I don't know if you watched cartoons as a kid, The Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, you know, but in cartoons, like when you run off a cliff, you don't just fall, right? In cartoons, you run off a cliff, you look down. You see, there's nothing there. And then you fall, right? But you have that moment where you get to look down and see that there's nothing there before you fall. That was their moment. I don't know if they had that moment, but when the ground opened up, before, that was their moment, before plunging to their deaths. And they thought, maybe this wasn't a great idea. And that's all it took, to hear her tshuva, to just take a moment and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and that we have to assess whether we are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of our ability. I got a text this morning from an infectious disease doctor who's been updating me. A close friend of mine has been updating me on a lot of on a lot of the latest findings and and he showed me that even as the numbers are going up all over the country, for some reason in the Five Towns area, positive tests are kimat at zero. I think there was one positive test in the entire Five Towns area last week. Not talking about hospitalizations or anything like that. Salah hasn't responded to a call in weeks, COVID-related. A positive test. So it was, no one predicted that. There's no herd immunity. No one predicted that. All over the country, it's raging all over the place. So I said, what's pshat? Like, how do we understand this? And he says, b'derech hateva, there's no explanation. Meaning there are certain things that happen around us, whether you know whether things are challenging or less challenging, that just cause you to say, Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world. You know, we don't know. We can't. There are these brios bein hashmashos that Kodesh Baruch Hu just put into place. Where, you know, we hope it continues. We daven. We have no idea. Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world. That's our job. That's our avoda. That we have a lot to do. And Kodesh Baruch Hu gives 613 mitzvos. We have a lot to do, but in the middle of all that doing, every once in a while, we have to take that pause. We have to take that stop and say, well, wait a second. Let's reassess. Am I going to end up in the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant for me to be? And for some people, the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant for you to be is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, as an example. And for some people, it's Rosh Yeshiva of Torah V'Das. But we're not going to know that unless we actually take the opportunity to think about such things. Okay.